you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, y'all.
Wow, yo. This past week has been intense, John.
It has been. We have been...
How tired are you?
I'm actually very refreshed.
Okay.
And I realized that I think the... I know I talk about this all the time.
Oh, God. What is it going to be? I have my coffees. It's your sinus infection.
It's the allergies. Jesus in Nashville. Christ. In Nashville, I should say.
No, it's not in Nashville. It's just you.
It might be just me.
I think just you.
But, you know, I was feeling very kind of like... And I was commiserating with Rabia Chaudhry from the Undisclosed podcast about this.
Yeah.
The whole weekend...
Name drop.
We obviously just got back from CrimeCon and... Just felt a little off, you know, like my sinuses, the pressure, there were storms.
Right.
It rained the whole weekend until the last day. And then I got back to New York and I felt completely normal. So I actually feel great.
Well,
what about you?
I feel amazing. I mean, I feel like I put in everything I had
you
in Nashville,
did, yeah.
All of my energy. I lost my voice just a tiny touch.
Oh, really?
But honestly, like Nashville was amazing.
It was
Crime
so much
Con
fun.
Was amazing.
Yeah.
Meeting all of our fans were incredible.
Yeah.
I have a bunch of stuff that I should have brought up here, which I forgot to bring up. But
yeah.
Let me just say,
sure.
We got a Taco Bell gift card.
Thank you. Yes.
Can we just say that?
We are so excited.
It wasn't from like actual Taco Bell people. It's
well,
not
right.
Like they listen to the podcast and are like, oh my God, let's give these guys free cheesy gordita crunches.
Right.
From a fan. It was like one of the first things we ever got at CrimeCon. And
yeah.
It was
we also
perfection.
Got coasters. We'll talk about all this in the another shot number two.
I just had to shout it out. It's
definitely.
So delish.
But yes, it was so great to meet so many of our fans.
Yeah.
Matt, you also met a lot of people, took a lot of photos, correct?
That is correct. I didn't hear about the Taco Bell gift card.
No, that's right, because
like
you weren't at our fucking
you two
booth.
Went and ate
spent all, it all.
Spent it all, ate yeah. Everything up, didn't even tell me.
Oh, it's definitely just for
well,
us.
Well, I'm sorry, but Matt, we actually had a job to be on Podcasters Row, and you just weren't there. You just roll in like 3 hours late.
Not true.
Okay.
All right. Well,
okay.
Fans will that were there
sure.
Will tell the truth. That's what
yeah,
we'll say
I
about
think
that.
Fans will know whether or not they met Matt or not.
There
I think.
You go.
We'll leave it up to the fans to decide.
And for even more CrimeCon stuff, we broke it all down in Another Shot episode 2, which is
yes.
Out already. So
we're going to break it down.
Yeah, we're going to break
thank
it down.
But thank you, Nashville, yes. For hosting us.
There you go.
Well,
yeah.
I have another exciting announcement,
yes.
Which is actually already starting to be utilized. Don't forget about our new Martinis and Murder Facebook group, which I see a bunch of
yeah.
People wanting to, you know, comment on and add and join. It's just for the fans. So search Martinis and Murder Podcast Fans on Facebook or click the link in our show description to take you right over there
yeah.
And follow it, you know, be part of it.
When we first launched it, fans were saying that they couldn't find it, but I think it's there now. I think Facebook needed a second just to put it in the search feed, if you will. So.
Are you comparing Facebook to Matt?
Yeah.
Just
like
needs
being
a second.
Slow.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, there
that's
you go.
That's the nicest thing we could ever say about Matt.
Absolutely.
What are we drinking
what
this
are
week?
We drinking before we get into this week's
oh, Matt
case?
Got up and now he has to sit back down.
I know.
I'm
I was
parched.
Like, where is he going? It's his turn to speak
so
now.
So thirsty.
We are having a Tennessee Mule.
Ooh.
And we were just
right.
In Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Now, the case takes place in Tennessee.
Yes, it does.
And so.
I love a mule.
Love
very
a good meal.
Apropos of the episode, it's 1 ounce of Jack Daniel's Old Number 7.
Great.
3 ounces of ginger beer and 1 lime wedge, and that's it.
This is going to be my favorite drink. I can already tell. I love a Moscow Mule. I had some in Austin. They were like Austin Mules.
What's your favorite?
Well, I mean, they're all kind of different versions on each other, but I love a lime ginger palate. I have that type of palate. I think it's going to be delicious. But I discovered one of my new favorite drinks, which we can talk about another shot, but I've been drinking vodka rocks with like 20 lemons in it, squeezed in.
You ordered that at the Wild Horse Saloon.
So fucking good, John.
I haven't tried it. Maybe
well,
we should
try
it.
Drink.
My favorite mule is probably Eeyore, but I don't have a favorite mule.
No one laughed at that.
No one laughed.
No one laughed. I mean, in theory, we can think that the fans laughed.
Fans were laughing on
the
other end.
Tell yourself that.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
That'll help. That'll help.
Megan giggled. Megan, Megan.
I mean, what does that say? Megan's out. She's fired. Now she's Matt status.
I should say one thing more, and this is coming from Gina, staff boozer.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Gina, the staff boozer. Yes.
So Tennessee whiskey is basically a bourbon with one extra step. They put it through a charcoal to mellow and round out the harsh edges.
Interesting.
All right. And I want to round out your rough
edges. We'll talk about how the Tennessee whiskey and you guys turning up on the Another Shot number 2 episode. So.
I love that we're doing a Tennessee murder after we just got back.
I know.
Good thing we covered this after we get back.
After we got back,
because covering this beforehand would have been
precisely
not good.
Yes. All right, well, let's get into this week's episode, week's murder. We're going to talk about a woman named Shane Lovera.
Love. Can I just say I love an androgynous name, but I feel like I'm biased.
Not only that, but she spells it with a Y in her name, just like you. Interesting,
so
right?
Nice.
There you go.
And it's crazy because she has a husband whose name is Kelly.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. By the way,
what are the odds?
Coming back, so flying in the Nashville airport, coming back on Sunday to New York, I give my license to the, you know, TSA guy, and he was like, my son's name is Darren. And I was like, great name. And he's like, spelled exactly the way you're spelled.
Really?
And I wanted to look at him. I'd be like, by the way, it's kind of a feminine way to spell it, but no shade.
Okay.
It's
letters don't need to have gender, you know?
Well, you know. Y is pretty girly. But hey, I'm glad that there are other Darrens out there.
There you go. Well, Shane with a Y was born in Appalachia in 1966. Shout out to the Appalachian Mountains where I'm from.
Oh, shout out to them. They're listening.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
they are, because they don't probably have any other way to listen to the outside world.
Definitely.
In 1966. And she was the only daughter of teenage parents who split a few years after her birth.
Yeah.
Her mother remarried a local bank president, and Shane went from struggling to living a very prosperous life.
Oh.
She was a party girl and was out with boys often, but she was also the editor of the yearbook and the president of the ski club.
Oh, I was in my ski club.
I was just going to ask you, what clubs were you in high school? Because I know that you were in the ski club
as well. I did ski club. I was in, clubs themselves. I was in theater and I played soccer and I ran track and then I did ski club. So it was all like sports.
Yeah. Very athletic.
And
very,
theater.
Very stereotypical. But
what about
it's
you?
Fine. I was in orchestra. I'm a cellist.
Oh, you're a cellist.
We should save this for another shot, but it's fine. Cellist. I was in band. I was the drum major of my marching band. I was, what else? The class president. So
oh
I was in
God.
Student body.
I just love you being in marching band.
Oh, I loved it. It was so much fun. We
can
went
we,
to every football game.
Can we post
game.
Some pictures?
Oh, totally. I have tons of photos.
Well, come in with fucking receipts.
Yeah, I will. What else was I in? I forget. I was in all kinds of crazy
Did you do
things.
Any like LGBT stuff?
No, because you know what? Back then, especially in my area of the country, if you will, those types of organizations weren't really happening in high schools
like
yet.
Gay Straight Alliance. I guess that was what it was called in high
back
school
then, but like we didn't have one. We didn't have that back then.
Yeah,
this
I
was the Bush era, so.
I didn't really know I was gay in high school, so I guess I wasn't even really paying attention, but that felt like more of a college thing to do.
More on that in
in another shot. You're gonna have to give me 8 other shots if you want to hear that story.
Well, in May of 1984, Shane's stepfather committed suicide following an investigation at his bank.
Oh, that's
yeah, so
not
there
good.
Sounds like there might be some motivation behind there. A friend told Snap, quote, "You had not only dealing with the death, but he killed himself over financial irregularities with the bank. So you had all this scandal. So she went from being a wealthy family with good standing to being surrounded by allegations and suspicions." Shane and her mother were left with debt and financial burdens. Shane wasn't able to afford the same kind of lifestyle and couldn't even finish her college. She
was devastated.
I mean, awful. Yeah, that really is awful. You don't hear about that very often when people's whole lifestyle is just up and change over the death of somebody, basically. But still reeling from her loss, she eventually enrolled in a small community college in Missouri and met a man named Kelly Lavera at a local swim club. So we have Shane and Kelly,
yeah,
but not in the traditional gender associations with those names.
No, it's 2018, but yeah, not then.
Not then,
but like
right
now.
Now it is.
Yes.
Kelly was 24, tall, good-looking, very charming, and played in the marching band.
Well, John.
Yeah, because he knew what was up.
Is your name Kelly?
It's not, so okay. I cannot be associated
just,
with
it was. It felt like an appropriate question
thank
to
you
ask.
No, you know, you have to cover all bases when you're investigating.
Exactly.
Kelly's stepmom described him, quote, there were like two Kellys, the very intelligent, you know, nose to the grindstone type of person, and then the weekend side of him where he was his, you know, liked he played cards and ride his bike and hang out with his buddies.
Okay,
quote.
Outside of the grammatical errors of that statement,
right.
Also feel like there isn't, that doesn't seem like two separate sides of a coin. Like, she wasn't really describing any mood swings, just sort of like multiple.
Oh,
ooh,
thank you.
In our
fancy cup.
Oh, yeah. Fancy cups. But they're also, they're Four Roses bourbon cups, but also like
chilled.
They're not in the traditional Moscow Mule copper tin, whatever, mugs.
But close enough.
But close enough.
Yeah.
And they feel nice and chilly.
I will say, we're recording this a little bit earlier in the day than we typically do, and I haven't had lunch or breakfast yet today because I've been so busy.
Well, it seems like a you problem.
So I'm going to be probably very drunk by the end of this episode.
Well,
if
let's
I drink
hope
this whole thing as normal. But
one
let's
can
see
only
how it
hope
goes.
Cheers, bitch.
Cheers, bitch. Here we go. Megan and Matt are in the room with us. You can take the first sip, give first impressions.
Delish, Matt. Delish. Nice and sweet, nice and chilled. You know, a fan came up to us asking if we are really drinking on the show. Remember that? And I was like,
I'm surprised people are still
like,
asking that.
I know that you drink, but like, is it water? And I was like, we suffer for our craft.
I'm like, have you not heard the episodes where we can't even get the words out?
There are
the
some
end
drunken, debaucherous episodes.
Yeah,
hopefully you'll get there today.
I've learned how to space myself out so we can actually complete the episode. So I'm making some progress.
Look at you.
Back to the show here. Kelly and Shane were incredibly drawn to each other. 1 month after their first date, the couple moved in together. Kind of lesbianish. It's fine.
Not kind of.
It is.
Yeah, that's what that is.
Kelly gave Shane a... And like we always say, we're gay, so we can say that.
Yeah.
Kelly gave Shane a sense of security during a period in her life when she'd experienced upheaval. Kelly also craved the stability as his parents had just gone through a nasty divorce. 6 months later, they got married.
Okay, it sounds like they need each other.
It's
more so than just like a wanting. Like,
yeah,
they need the support. It almost feels like they only have each other to rely on.
There's definitely does feel like there's a dependency here.
Yeah.
Shane and Kelly spent the following 5 years in Missouri together. Kelly graduated school and became a teacher while Shane put her career on hold to have their first child in 1987. An author told Snapped, quote, Shane's original ambition was to become a TV personality.
I relate.
An on-air news radio, perhaps a weather girl, kind of similar to you, Darren.
Yeah.
Although you never wanted to be a weather girl.
No, I didn't.
I did. Let me tell you about that sometime.
You're still my weather girl.
She would have been, quote, splendid at it. She was bright enough, outgoing enough, attractive enough. She just might have made a career out of that, but she didn't. The couple had a second child and decided to move to Shane's hometown of Sevierville, Tennessee. I hope I'm saying that right.
I looked up how to say Sevierville.
Oh, good.
So there was like multiple ways to pronounce it. So I just thought we should, if you're from there,
let us know.
Or you know, I think you should let us know. But there are multiple different ways. Wasn't like the Nevada.
Well, we've just barely recovered from that.
My God, I'm still struggling.
If you're from the area and know how to say it, let us know. We love to issue corrections on the show.
Yeah.
Kelly loved the outdoors and dreamed of living in a cabin in the woods. Who doesn't, by the way? God, that would
I was
be
just
so
going
nice
to say, who does? But I guess a lot of people do. I just like that would freaks me out.
Well, you also don't like spiders. Do you remember the cabin in the woods you went to and you got there and there were spiders on the door? Do you want to tell everyone what happened?
Yeah, I mean, I could save it, but I feel like this is very apropos, but my girlfriend and I rented an Airbnb. I can't believe you remembered this. Girlfriend and I rented an Airbnb upstate, drove 2.5 hours to go up there on Memorial Day weekend. We go out.
It was Memorial Day.
My girlfriend gets out of the car to go like get the keys or whatever.
Like at the door.
And she legit says, do not get out of the car. Okay.
And you're like,
and it's
why?
Midday. I'm like, what is going on? And she's like, there's spiders everywhere. They're covering the door. Clearly these people like haven't cleaned.
Yeah.
4 hours later of us like arguing with this Airbnb owner, we got our money back. And like,
and then you left.
And my girlfriend's like grabbing one of those like ice picks from her car to try and like beat down the spiders. I never even got out of the car and drove right back.
I mean, I get it. By the way, after that, how many Facebook posts did I put on your Facebook of just like spider
terrible
pictures?
Things? You're such a jerk.
Let's move on.
So what happened to so what happened to them? Unfortunately, the couple accumulated debt over the years, and Shane was largely responsible. Mm. Shane came from money, as we know, and her stepfather having been president of a bank, and Kelly had a modest salary as a teacher. Shane wanted a lifestyle that was beyond their reach. She was used to the high fast lane.
By the way, I live like this. I spend all of my money. I don't save any of it. I pretend like I have money when I probably don't. It's ridiculous.
How was your private jet to Nashville?
Oh, it was beautiful. Yeah, I went into major debt, but it was really nice to have my own flight.
Thanks for inviting us. That was really nice.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
Kelly was now teaching math at a local community college, and with his teacher's salary and debt, they could only afford a small apartment in an area known as Frog Alley, which is probably still 40 times bigger than my apartment in Manhattan.
That's true. Plus, but would you want to live on Frog Alley, though?
Well, maybe. Better than Spider Fields.
That's true.
Shane's friend. I'm just creating it.
I know.
Shane's friend explains, quote, she had gone literally from being this Gatlinburg socialite and heiress to living in Frog Valley, which I don't know Frog Valley. Let me not make judgments.
No, true.
But from that quote alone,
just
it don't sound very good.
Right.
It don't sound good.
Right.
Frog Valley or Alley?
Well, on the script, it says Alley, you tell me, Matt.
I think you did say Valley, though.
You said Valley.
Oh, Frog Alley is what I meant to say.
Get the Frog Alley right for all the people that live on Frog Alley.
I'm sure Frog Valley is very nice, though.
Oh, I'm sure it's beautiful this time of year.
The neighborhood was known for a party lifestyle full of young singles and couples, lots of gambling. This doesn't sound that bad.
No.
By 1990, Kelly jumped right into it. He was quite the drinker, although he didn't use drugs, which... big red flag. Am I right, people? Okay. By 1994, they had been married. Everyone just skipped over that.
Yeah.
By 1994, they had been married for 9 years, and a coworker told Kelly he needed to think about what effect the partying was having on his children. So, okay, right there, it sounds like he has a good sense of self.
Right.
Kelly decided to slow down, but Shane had a hard time doing so. Kelly's dad told Snapped he was a good father with the kids. He always played with the kids.
Nice.
Shane had a part-time job selling industrial machine parts. Most of her clients were men, and she was enjoying getting attention from them.
Typical.
Okay, that's okay. And well, I mean, she's selling industrial machine parts. That doesn't really seem like a wild thing that females are going to be, you know, involved in.
Right.
And author said, quote, driving in her black Jeep, dressed in her usual black outfit, except for this next line, wearing her heavy makeup.
Right. This was all Darren.
Reason we know it's not me, Matt.
Yeah.
That's the only reason we know. I think she delighted in having the opportunity to meet those very macho young guys. Like me. Kelly was not very happy with it, but quite frankly, they needed the money because they were in terrible debt.
Mm.
Okay, so, you know.
I'm not ruling you out. Let's just put
that out
there.
It could be me.
Yeah.
Shane's friend described a flirtatious encounter. Quote, it was our 10-year reunion. Shane spent an enormous amount of time with the bartender.
Wait a minute.
Okay. And was very...
I've never lived in Frog Alley.
I was
going
to say.
Not only that, but you're
Alley.
Not really a bartender because you don't know what a fucking teaspoon is. And I'm not sure you know how to flirt. So we're skipping over that too.
Lots of accusations.
But then it would be me flirting with Matt. Could you really picture a world under which that would happen?
Never.
Thank you. Continuing with the quote, and was very flirtatious with the bartender, and Kelly saw all of that. He didn't react at all, and I found that very odd.
That's interesting.
But listen, some people, myself included, don't get that jealous when things like that happen.
It's
just an individual thing.
Just putting it out there, right?
Soon, an ex-Navy guy named Brett Ray moved into Frog Alley. Brett had had a successful career in the Navy until he punched an officer.
Oh, everything was going well until...
It was good until then he flipped off
assault.
A cop.
Yeah.
And said, quote, prior to meeting Shane Lovera, he was in the Navy for a while, did very well until he tried to punch out a naval officer, which got him 30 days in the brig and dishonorable discharge.
Ooh, that's not good.
That is not good. But also, I think a moral of a story, and I'm just going to say this right now, don't punch police officers.
Yeah.
Or as much as you might want to.
Or anyone in a uniform, for that matter, especially if you're in the military, because when you get dishonorably discharged, you lose all of your military benefits and everything.
You know what? Don't punch anyone.
Yeah. Well, in general, that's
unless
a good one.
For self-defense.
Right.
Or
Or Matt. If it's Matt, right. Yeah.
He also came from some money. He was the son of a newspaper publisher. However, he was unambitious, an author said. Brett Ray is your, I think, your classic Tennessee good old boy, driving a pickup truck and raising hell on a Saturday night. And let me say, Saturday night in Nashville is fucking raising hell. Well, am I right, Matt?
Find out on another shot number two, because I think we'll get into it.
I'm peppering in my own color commentary.
I do want to say about the Nashville people, you know, we interacted with quite a few people that were from Nashville or even just Tennessee, and everyone was so nice.
Yeah.
And I think I always think about this whenever I leave New York City, where it's not that we're not nice here. It's just that everyone is in their own bubble, in their own zone, and in their own lane that we're trying to get from one point to the next, and it's just all about efficiency, and it's nothing personal, but we don't want to talk to anybody. Meanwhile, everyone, every guy, every good old boy from Tennessee that I talked to was just so friendly. Nice and warm and welcoming.
I talked to every Lyft and Uber driver I had for like 40 minutes. Never in New York have I had a conversation like that.
I know.
Which is a good or bad thing. Sometimes you want to be left alone.
Precisely.
But like
everyone. Uber and Lyft driver was so chatty. I was like, I'm so grateful of all the pleasantries of the state and of the city, but I really needed like 5 minutes to just not talk to people.
But yeah. Glad you're nice.
You know, I've had people visit New York City and say they were surprised by how nice. Yeah.
I think New Yorkers are the nicest.
Like, you know, when people stop me and ask for a drink, I always go out of my way.
Totally, yeah.
Of course.
But you're right. People there are more talkative.
Exactly. I think that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm always suspicious of those types. I'm like, what are you trying to get out of me here? You know, what data are you trying?
Excuse me, I just swallowed something wrong.
I was like,
New Yorkers
something.
Are nice. I actually think New Yorkers are extremely nice. I think it's because we're in our own world where it's like
a bubble in a sense.
It's a little bit of a bubble, but you know what? I like that. Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with that, but sometimes, yeah, you just want 5 fucking minutes to rest.
There you go.
And a Lyft driver.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Anyway, Shane's friend said, so she immediately thought Brett's the sort of guy that Shane would go for and added they were both wild.
Like wild horses?
Yeah, maybe. Okay. Brett came to all of Shane's parties and she gave him attention. Friends and family noticed that Kelly was having a pretty rough time with it. Now, friends talked to Kelly about divorce, but he said, I will not leave my children. Kelly was struggling and he reached out to his dad. What a good fucking guy, it seems.
Well, his intentions are
as
certainly
right now.
There. But I also want to make a point. Now, this is I know we're tangenting off a little bit here today, but, you know, look, if you're in a marriage and it's not working.
Right.
Staying in it for the kids is likely probably more problematic than just separating and didn't we just talk about this somewhere?
We did. Yeah.
I forget.
Why were we talking
about
this?
I don't know why we were talking about
this. And we can't say why we were talking about it. Let's just say it's someone's in our lives that's going
in our lives, you
and
I,
going
yes.
through a situation where it's similar.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It depends on how old the kids are, I do believe.
That's what we were talking about.
2 years, you know, into high school and they're going to go off to college. Okay,
maybe not
rip it out, but I think if they're younger, it's easier. And you tell me, out there, tell me, because I've never been married, divorced,
listeners,
or have kids, but I imagine if the kids are younger, it's a lot easier.
Yeah, and we were having this discussion over fried green tomatoes, by the way,
and corn fritters?
Corn fritters. I couldn't remember what they were called.
Tastes like fried dough.
We had some good food in
I love
Nashville.
How we both forgot and then, remembered at the exact same time.
Yeah. All right, keep going. Sorry, another I'll stop interrupting you today, by the way.
Yeah, shut the fuck up. Okay, so he reaches out to his dad. Kelly's dad said he called before and we were going out for dinner and he said, Dad, I need to talk to you. And I said, Kelly, we're leaving for dinner. Like, can I call you back? I just made him a Valley girl.
Okay.
I made him a Frog Valley girl.
Hey, it's our show. We can do what we want.
It all comes full circle here. Mattress rolled his eyes. on an unseasonably warm day in November of 1994, Shane threw a party and friends from all over came, including some members of motorcycle gangs.
Oh, so you... Again, motorcycles.
Could be
you
me.
Connect. Yep.
I could be in that gang. Kelly drank bourbon at the party and got pretty hammered. And around 1 a.m., he fell asleep on the couch. Typical.
Yeah.
When this detail came up, that's when I ran to Gina and said, this case is in Tennessee.
It has bourbon involved.
We don't have bourbon.
That's what we have to do.
I do want to say I was a little bit suspicious about ginger beer because, you know, beer.
You've never had it?
Well, no, I just mean beer on this show hasn't gone over well over the last several episodes.
I mean, sweetie, that was because of the...
I get it. Uh-huh. But this drink is really, really delicious.
Especially on an empty stomach.
On an empty stomach, my eyes are starting to close a little bit. Oh, yeah. A little bit cheery, you know. We're going to have fun.
Oh, you're actually having a good time today.
It's crazy.
That's weird.
It's amazing what can happen in the studio.
I would suggest not eating and just drinking.
Matt, what are you saying?
Some weird pain.
Oh, like in your... He's rubbing his breast.
Yeah, are you breast examining yourself?
Are you okay, like in all seriousness?
I think so.
Matt,
just,
you're a well-endowed man.
The show must go on.
I had really sharp pains, right? Is this where you have a heart attack?
He's pointing to his
heart. Well, if you're pointing to your heart saying, is this where you have a heart attack? No, some people have heart attacks in their butts, in their knees. It really depends.
Fart attacks.
What a fucking idiot.
Shout out to Parks and Rec.
These are my last words.
Are you smelling burnt hair or something?
Everyone just witnessed Darren making fun of me while I'm having a fucking heart attack.
But he's like, your heart, is this where you have a heart attack? You know what? You deserve to die at this point if that's what's being said.
He's actually kind of scared, so this is funny.
Wait, are you okay, though? Seriously? Yeah, no one cares. Okay, let's keep moving on.
Megan, keep an eye on him. The show must go on.
Yeah, we really have to, like,
the fans. He just said, I think so. He thinks he's okay.
Do you feel both your arms?
Can you taste shapes right now?
Are you supposed to taste shapes? I don't want to have a heart attack just to taste a shape.
No. Are you tasting pennies or shapes?
Or is it toast or hair or something?
Are you smelling colors?
Are you still alive? Fine.
He's actually getting checked out by Megan. Let's just make sure.
She's checking his pulse. God, thank God for Megan.
God, Megan does everything.
Megan, by the way, we had a number of people asking about your bar exam and what's happening.
Is there an update?
So, like,
no update
yet. When will we have updates? This month.
Now,
people.
I don't want to put the mood down, but if for some reason you didn't pass or whatever, are you willing to share that?
Yeah.
Okay. Look,
well,
I mean,
I'm not asking it. That's for
a
fuck's sake.
I feel bad that you have to share that with us, but hopefully
isn't
you
it so bad when people come
happens.
Up to you and they're like, so what? I do all the time when I was an NBC page, you'd be like, so how did that assignment go? You looked great. Look, you killed it, right? And you're like, I didn't.
I didn't get that.
And I feel bad.
Yeah, well, it happens.
But you know what? Megan's fucking passing.
Okay, I think Megan's checking Matt's blood.
Oh my God. Someone need to take a picture of this. She's like, eh. Megan, is it weird trying to feel for a pulse when he doesn't have one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. Anyway.
All right, keep going. I'm going to keep an eye on Matt while you do this.
So Kelly's drinking bourbon at this party, falls asleep on the couch, 1 a.m. The next morning, Shane went knocking on all the neighbors' doors looking for him. Around 9 a.m., two tourists in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park spotted Kelly's Jeep.
One of my all-time favorite songs is Dolly Parton's Smoky Mountain Memories, performed also by David Archuleta on his season of American
Idol. Sweetie, how many times have you mentioned David Archuleta in the past 5 days?
On this show, not at all.
How many with me?
Many, because as most people know, in my life, he is my ultimate celebrity crush. I'm in love with David Archuleta. If you're listening, please stop by the show.
There's like really nothing I can say to that.
Yeah, keep going.
The Jeep had gone off the road and down an embankment about 30 feet before plowing into a tree. If the tree had not stopped the Jeep, it would have gone much further and likely not have been found until spring, as the road would soon be closed for the winter.
Oh, that's so scary.
It's fucking terrifying. The park rangers found the body and contacted investigators because the scene looked a little suspicious. Remember, last thing we know, he's asleep on the couch.
Right.
Searching the vehicle easily identified the body as that of Kelly Lovera. Investigators immediately drove to Shane to tell her what had happened. At noon, they knocked on her door and told her Kelly had passed away in a car accident, which is got to be the worst thing you can probably... One of the worst things that a loved one has passed from a knock on the door.
Yeah, definitely. And so obviously there's an investigation happening now.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
Unless you're together with Darren and then she just makes fun of you while you're dying.
While you're literally dying next to her. Yeah.
Depends who it is. Yeah. I'm not like that with everyone.
No, that would only really happen
with
you.
He pointed to his heart and asked if that's where you have a heart attack and then didn't know what a teaspoon was and didn't know how to pronounce it.
It's fine.
Do we care that this person's still alive?
We need a tershburn of aspirin ASAP.
My God, give him a tershburn of medicine.
Shane told investigators about the party the night before that Kelly didn't usually drink much anymore, but he had gotten too drunk that night and he fell asleep on the couch in the apartment. She claimed that while he slept, she had left with her neighbor of 3 months, Brett, to go get burgers. When she returned around, that sounds really good because, again, I haven't had lunch. When she returned around 3 or 4 a.m., Kelly woke up demanding to know where she had been. He was in a jealous rage and they argued at 4:30 a.m. and she was just very... You know, at this point, she's very sure of the time, so she knew what was going on at that point.
And let me just tell you something, a jealous rage at 4:30 a.m., no matter like how sober or drunk you are, is not good.
Not a good time to be arguing.
Yes.
Shane insisted to Kelly that Brett was just a friend, but Kelly didn't believe her and finally drove off in a rage in his Jeep. She told investigators she didn't chase him because the kids were asleep. While police informed Kelly's parents that their son had died in a car accident, they continued investigating the accident as a suspicious death. The body had been, which might be happening here in our studio, Matt.
A suspicious death?
You all right, Matt? Matt?
Someone, I don't know. I might have had a stroke. I might have had a mini heart attack.
Well, I'm not
kidding. What if he has a stroke? What if it's a stroke and it corrects you? And all of a sudden he's like an amazing bartender. And he's on time.
I'm very clammy.
Oh, God. Do you need to step out? Well, like I said, I'm not cleaning up anything here today. So
you mean if I die?
Yeah, if you do, could you at least just
As long as it's not contagious, I feel okay about
it. That's true. Right. Who knows?
As long as we aren't going to get it, do we really care?
I think it's fine.
I think it's fine, too. Let's keep moving on.
Let's keep going, because this is actually a serious part of this part of the show. So anyway, the body had been found in the back seat, and while he may have been thrown from his seat in the crash, his blood told a very different story. Investigators had found large pools of blood in the car, but the blood was leaking out of the back tailgate while the car had crashed into a tree head first. So, you know, you kind of have to think about how the movement of a car and like the amount of blood and where it would go.
See Dexter. Watch Dexter and I'll give you an idea.
The detectives thought that Kelly had been severely beaten prior to being loaded in the back seat of the Jeep, but was still alive.
God.
His killer then might have driven the Jeep into the mountains looking for a sharp curve with a steep drop. The first tip came in when a friend of Brett's told police that he had received a call from Brett before dawn saying he was stranded and asking for a ride. When his friend picked him up, he was covered in dirt. So that's suspicious and odd.
A little.
His friend asked why he was all dirty and he said, quote, "Well, I just ran Kelly off the side of an embankment."
Okay.
Interesting.
All right. That's a weird thing to say.
Brett apparently told other people what he had done, too. Also, it turned out he was deeply in love with Shane.
Oh, really?
So there's a lot going on here. By the next morning, police had Brett in custody and booked him on murder charges. Brett claimed that he had last saw Kelly at the party very drunk. He told investigators he knew nothing of what happened to him. Next, investigators brought Shane in to ask her questions, but soon after, she asked for a lawyer and the interrogation ended. I think that's understandable, though. I mean, I don't know that you want to be talking to people like that without a lawyer present.
Always have a lawyer present, guilty or innocent. Right, Megan?
Right, Megan? Exactly.
Thank you.
Megan says yes.
She's passing the bar, people.
She will. Let's fingers crossed. By November 7th, the autopsy confirmed that Kelly had not died in the accident. He had been severely beaten around the head.
Oh.
The blows knocked him unconscious and swelled his brain. According to the medical examiner, it looked as if Kelly had been beaten with a baseball bat.
Oh, my God.
I know. Investigators then returned to visit Shane, but this time with a search warrant and a bottle of Luminol, which, of course, we all know is a chemical that is visible when it comes in contact with blood enzymes. So it basically illuminates.
Everyone knows that.
Right. Well, I mean, most true crime fans would know what
they
Luminol
should know
is.
That.
Yeah.
Matt didn't fucking know that.
He doesn't
know where his heart is.
By the way, we might need Luminol soon if he doesn't like chill out over here in his seat.
He needs some blood enzymes. Yeah. Stat.
It was clear that there was blood everywhere, even on the glass frame of Kelly's master's degree on the wall.
That's a fucking freaky image.
With each spray of the Luminol, the detectives followed a blood path of a body being dragged through the hallway and out through the children's bedroom window. And I'm just imagining, spraying this stuff and like slowly you kind of see uncovering the whole thing like revealed. Isn't that so creepy?
Yeah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
It was absurd to think that Shane had slept through this murder and had no part of it, obviously. When Kelly's parents came to speak to the police, they were informed that Shane most likely had a role in this. 2 days later, on the 9th, as Kelly's funeral was being held, Shane and her sister were outside the funeral home. Kelly's friend witnessed them and said, quote, "She and her sister were laughing and carrying on the outside of the funeral home. And I turned and looked at them and then just walked back in. And of course, my whole thought was, oh my God, you know." End quote. So
yeah, I know.
There's a bit of an assumption about what was going on there. On Brett's answering machine, police found a recording of Brett and Shane, and here's a bit of the transcript. So I'll be Brett and you can be Shane.
That makes sense.
Where's Kelly?
Outside, fucking with his car.
Sneak down and see me.
I'll try.
Sneak up and see me. Sneak down. Just sneak out and fucking see me. And scene.
And scene.
Thank you.
It
did say to whisper. Looking forward to our Tony Award, hopefully next season.
Yeah, I love that you want a Tony Award so bad. That's how gay
I
you
do.
Are. Like,
I know.
You don't want
it's
an
in
Emmy.
My blood.
Like, we didn't sing that.
No, you're right.
You know what I mean? Like, we don't deserve a Tony.
I only say that because we're so close to the Broadway and we are performing.
Yeah,
you know
maybe a
I'm
Golden
saying.
Globe.
Okay, let's see what
let's
happens.
Let's go with that.
Well, anyway, it was clear that they were having an affair, and that was a good motive. But as investigators talked to more people in the apartment complex, it was clear she was having an affair with another man as well.
Oh, man.
The morning after the murder, Shane called Kelly's friend and coworker. The friend said, quote, the first thing she asked was how much life insurance he had.
Okay.
Here
I
we
asked
go again.
That on a first date. First question.
Well, it's one of the things we need to establish in this room because we're all kind of eyeing each
I'm
other.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, just putting it out there. Kelly's life insurance paid double if he had died in an accident.
Tershburn.
On December 13th, more than a month after the murder, Shane was booked and charged with murder. While the evidence was circumstantial, the police believed it was strong enough to take to trial. The two both made their bail.
Well, it definitely helps for a motive there to, you know, to know that it died in an accident, to know that if he died in an accident, it would double. Okay, so let's talk about the trial here. Yeah. On March 26th, 1996, what were you doing? You were 10.
Like, I always just think this was like my Spice Girls era.
You're
so
like
I'm
fifth
sure I was
grade,
dancing.
You're like fifth grade, like loving life.
Yeah, I was probably dating my girlfriend Janelle. It's a long story. Let's not talk about it.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's going to be another shot.
Well, there you go.
So March 26, 1996, Shane and her co-defendant Brett walked into the courthouse. Shane was very confident looking while Brett looked quite defeated. Mm. The prosecution had strong evidence and witnesses to testify against Brett since he bragged to his friends about what he did.
That's pretty good, yeah.
But Shane was entirely circumstantial. Now, 2 months before the trial, Brett had tried to skip bail. He took his brother's sports car and went to Mexico, but he was caught a week later trying to re-enter the country at the Miami airport.
Oh, very casual.
This guy
casual.
Doesn't seem like the brightest bulb, no. But okay. The prosecution had argued that they both conspired to kill Kelly since Shane wanted out of the marriage and they wanted to make money from the life insurance policy. Shane argued that, yes, the murder happened, but Brett had done done everything and wanted Kelly dead so he could have her to himself. Mm. She claims she went to sleep that night and Brett came over and did this himself. Brett had told his lawyers not to make an opening statement and to not deny anything. He was still in love with her and was willing to do anything to keep her out of jail. I'm sorry. I've never loved anyone to go to jail for them.
Definitely not.
I love my girlfriend.
No. Of course,
but like, you know, she's murdering someone. I'm putting it on her.
There you go.
However, the prosecution found another man, Shane, had been having an affair. He also lived in the neighborhood and was willing to testify. The prosecutor said she talked to him about killing her husband, wanted to talk to him about types of poison that might not be detected in the system. He thought at the time, of course, that she was joking.
Oh, poison. Just very casually.
I mean, okay, granted, do we talk about killing that fairly consistently on the show?
Well, and you know, the way he's kind of holding his chest, it's pretty clear that there was some sense of poison that he may have. Are you okay, by the way? Because you're,
he's
kind
like
of
leaning forward
weird.
And like heaving.
All right. He's like giving us.
He can't even speak.
No, he's okay.
So just know that they're not joking.
Right.
But we're also not joking.
Precisely. Okay. Yes. Thank you, Darren.
The prosecutor argued she moved on in order to find a man that was willing to kill for her. And she had found that in Brett. When the two made bail, the police put a surveillance team on them and followed them. Their logs were presented to the court. The couple had met many times in motels. One team even witnessed them take a Jeep with no top into the woods and have sex.
I mean, imagine that. You know, you're being surveilled like this and even going into the woods and having sex, there are people watching you. I mean, that's so weird to me. I mean, obviously it has to happen.
Yeah, but even if you're not being surveilled, like going into the woods to have sex.
Well, that
like,
in and of itself.
What are you doing?
Yeah,
with
exactly.
An open Jeep? Do you know how many spiders could hop in?
Do you know it's like Lyme disease,
God
tick
damn.
Season?
It doesn't
I would not
spiders.
Be.
Spiders. Close the door.
Yeah. Thank you, Darren.
You're welcome. Shane had convinced, I give all the life lessons
you
on
do.
This show.
You do. By the way, this is Appalachia, right? Ticks.
Oh, my God.
Disease.
I didn't even think about spiders.
Spiders,
my
wolves.
My God, you two are so prudish.
Okay, Matt, continue having your heart attack. We're going to continue on. Jane had convinced Brett to skip bail and head to Mexico, as it would be much easier for her to get off if he was not in the courtroom. Get off meaning get off the, yeah, not
right.
Like.
Right, thank you for clarifying.
Just making sure.
No, you never know.
# get off. Shane gave Brett money to leave the country and even gave him another $500 while he was in Mexico. Finally, it was Shane's turn to take the stand in her own defense. She claimed she was asleep and it was all a fight between Brett and Kelly. Mm. Shane testified that my son's baseball bat was in the living room and he said he just picked it up and swung at him to get him away from him. And he said that he didn't back off, that he had hit him. I don't know how many times and he finally fell back onto the couch. I'm pretty sure, and I don't know, maybe you other people know, if you hit someone pretty hard with a baseball bat once,
yeah,
like they're back and off.
All, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's all you need
typically.
Let's try that out with Matt.
Okay.
She claimed that Brett put Kelly's body in the car and cleaned up the whole crime scene while her and her kids were sleeping. Then she refuted the surveillance by claiming Brett forced her into the affair after the crime by threatening her. So under duress. Meanwhile, Brett sat in the courtroom and said nothing. This took many by surprise, including the judge. The judge said, quote, I have never seen anything like that in my almost 30 years in law. Someone sit there like he did and just take the blame for it and not say anything at all.
Well, I mean,
he doesn't know being in love.
Well, I mean, is that surprising? You don't want to be like incriminating yourself or, you know,
and he still loves Kelly.
Yeah.
Still loves Shane. Like in
yeah,
it,
Shane. Yeah.
Like he loves Shane so much.
I just don't find it that crazy that somebody wouldn't want to speak up in a courtroom.
Yeah, I don't think that detail didn't like surprise me too much. Well,
yeah.
Both Brett and Shane were found guilty of murder in the first degree, but before the sentencing, they both cut deals to plead guilty for their crimes in exchange for the possibility of parole in 25 years.
Hmm.
I gotta be honest, just reading that, it's like, would I have done that? Maybe.
Let me reread this. Before the sentencing, they both cut deals to plead guilty for their crimes in exchange for the possibility of parole in 25 years. So they're basically saying,
we're guilty,
yeah,
or we think that you're going to think that we're guilty,
right,
and we could get life in prison.
Got it. So
that's what
I
their
see.
Mindset is. So they're kind of trying to hedge their bets and make it so it's easier for them. If they're going to be fucked in the end, they might as well be less fucked.
Fair.
Despite her plea, Shane never admitted to the crime, only her plea. After the verdict, a reporter asked, quote, despite your guilty plea, you're saying that you had nothing to do with the murder? End quote. Shane responded, I did not kill my husband. Yes, I do deny that. I have made some mistakes. I admit to that. I've exercised some extremely bad judgment, but I do deny having killed my husband. Yes.
Well, as we've learned on this show, you don't have to pull the trigger to be equally a part of this whole scenario.
Well, so this is sort of the tough thing with Charlie Manson, too, which I think is probably the most popular figure of someone who actually didn't murder someone by his own hand.
Right.
Well, both Shane and Brett will be eligible for parole actually quite soon in 2025. And remember, they were convicted in 1996.
Which is already kind of a long time ago. We're getting old.
No, this feels like my lifetime.
Yeah.
In a 2009 article in the Tennessean, Shane was included in an article about prisoners participating in a program where a local college offered some courses to women in the Tennessee prison for women. Shane said, quote, so much of it is not what I expected, but more than I ever hoped for. So many women here have so little self-esteem and self-worth, and it gets to the point where they expect nothing. Mm. It doesn't have to be that way. My hope is that this one step in this one place will begin to change hearts and minds about how we treat people who need help in our society. Kelly's mother got custody of Shane's children.
You know, and that last quote was really interesting to me when I read it because, you know, what I think a lot of people forget in modern society, in our modern society, is that, you know, the prison system is almost meant to be, in a sense, a rehabilitation, right?
It's supposed to be.
It's supposed to be. You know, you're meant to pay for your time. You're meant to go and pay, you know, what for the crimes you've done. And you hope that you're meant to
be rehabilitated,
right? Yeah. So I've, you know, just doing the show for the last year and a half now that we've been doing. Can you believe it's been a year and a half,
by
the way? You know, I've really kind of seen my views personally change from, oh, lock them away forever to, okay, lock them away for this terrible things that they've done. And if there's a possibility of a rehabilitation for what they've done, then excellent.
Right.
You know, you and I have talked a lot about capital punishment and just how we view prisoners and that type of stuff. And maybe we can save that for another shot episode down the line. But I like that at the very least, even if she didn't or did or didn't kill this person. She was involved. She admits to that.
But she seems to be learning from her mistakes.
Yeah, which I think is what we would all at least hope can come out of it.
And wants to better society. Yeah. I like that we ended on something that was a little bit more positive. I'm also happy it was Kelly's mother who got custody of Shane's children.
All right, well, let's get to listener shout outs this week. Lauren on Twitter says, on the hashtag another shot of martinis and murder about dreams, I have totally had a dream about hanging out with Carpe Darren and Jay Thrasher. Darren and I were really vibing. Hashtag I think I have a girl crush.
Oh.
Question mark. Hashtag should I break up with my BF? Hashtag what does this mean? Darren, do you have a response?
Break up with your boyfriend.
Obviously.
Isn't that what people do?
Obviously.
Yeah. And like, listen, I am fucking honored to have I hope you have a girl crush on me.
I will say there were quite a few ladies that were coming up to the booth like, John, I love you, but Darren, I really have a girl crush. Darren, you're so cute, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, we saw a couple people say
I just
that.
Don't know how many of them were gay.
That's the
like
problem.
How many of them would I legitimately have a shot with?
Like Lauren
another
on Twitter.
Another shot with.
On Lauren on Twitter, are you gayish? Find out maybe on another episode.
Hashtag, I don't know what this means, but I love you, Lauren, and I'm totally happy we were vibing and you were hanging out with us in your dream.
Yeah,
that's
thanks.
A pretty sweet dream. Well, Kason on Twitter says, sitting talking with friends about the East Area rapist, and my friend Daniel said, that's a good point, and it took everything in me not to tell him to take a drink. Hashtag, Dan, your wife is here, and hashtag martinis and murder every time. And
every
we did
time.
That to each other so many times over at Crime Con when you and I would be walking around and I would say something, you'd be like, you know, that's a really good point. We were like, take a drink. It's like
every
automatic
time.
Now.
I mean, even in meetings, I'm like, da, 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 that's a really good point. Take a drink to myself.
We should do that to the president.
We should do that.
Anytime she tells
sure
us we have another good
that.
Point, we'll make sure to include that. don't forget to follow us at Jay Thrasher and at Carpe Darren on Twitter and Insta.
And as a reminder, we also have our official Facebook fan page that is just for you guys listening. Search Martinis and Murder Podcast Fans on Facebook or just click the link. It's fine. Maybe that's the word.
It actually makes more sense to be clink.
Clink does kind of work.
Clink the link.
Hashtag clink the link in the show description. Megan, can we add that to this week's show description?
Yes.
Of course she can do this. She's
Megan said, of course
magical.
It was on last week's too, because she's on top of it, saving lives here in the studio, etc. We're also at martinis_murder on Twitter, Darren.
I know that was something that I was supposed to say,
but
I was like looking at Megan. And
you were looking over here and I was like, I'll just pick that
think
up.
I have a girl crush.
I love it. Sounds good.
Yeah?
Matt, update
any
on
last words?
Your
Matt?
Heart condition.
No, he's texting.
No, he's texting. He's chilling.
He's fine. Are you texting your wife? Hey, I think I had a heart attack.
No, I'm not texting.
Okay. Think, a good story.
I think,
okay,
story. I think that I need some more bourbon. And that is that good for a heart attack?
No.
I think we should do another shot episode right now.
A
and
little
we should
more bourbon.
Let's start with another shot of bourbon.
Yeah.
I think that's what we need to do.
I need to eat lunch, so
it kind
no.
of calms Done. Down the body, right?
It soothes and warms the soul.
The heart.
Megan said, what year is this?
I'm pretty confident with my non-medical degree
right.
that when bourbon like does this little coating of your heart, uh-huh. it protects it from like other things.
Soothes and eases. And
It's a little warm hug,
that's
Megan.
That's
and
a great way to put it, actually.
I'm pretty sure I just cracked the code and you don't really need to go to med school.
Yeah, no.
And I'm pretty sure you should need to go to Darren Karp University and get your fucking degree today.
Ooh, I would go to Darren Karp University.
DCU.
Yeah, oh my God.
Thank you.
That sounds like DC Comics, DC Universe. Sorry, that's just my geekiness.
All right, I'm getting another shot. Bye.
Okay, bye everybody.